Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win.
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day. Big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind. Rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss. From the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of a sunny Chicago, some beautiful summer day. And lo and behold, the Bulls have made some moves. And to join me on this ride, it's going to be Alejandro D from Bulls on Tap. How you doing, brother?
Great, great. I don't know how to feel right now, though. We just, Lonzo Ball's traded. I'm sure you're excited.
Oh, I don't think there's any other way to feel. I think by this time next year, we're going to look back. Anyone who's doubted the brilliance of this move is going to look back and say, wow, Fred was really right on this one. Because you know what's hilarious is, like, I tweeted like 2 weeks ago. Specifically, I'm going to find that tweet. I'm going to read it to you. When you start talking, I'll go back and get it. But basically, they bought Giddy low, but they sold high, right? Does that make sense? And in this trade, you got a guy who was at the low end of his value just due to a situation beyond his control, really, in Cleveland, which is a team that was loaded with talent, two all-star guards in the backcourt. He was asked to do kind of like a deferential role for a team that was like near last in pace 2 years ago. They were just in the middle of the pack this past year, which is, you know, not suited for his skills in the offensive end. This was an incredible move, and I'm shocked at the automatic, reflexive, negative reaction with a lot in the fan base. Oh, this is terrible. We didn't get draft picks. I'm just telling you right now. Isaac Okoro is significantly better than any player you're likely going to get in the back of the first round and definitely in the second round. So this was a fantastic move with a guy who's on a decent contract. I think he's making like 11 or 12 for another two more years. I just can't believe that these guys pulled it off, and bravo to Acme. And no one's been more critical of this front office than me. But when you do a move like this, you absolutely deserve praise and laudits. What say you, brother?
I, without the Alex Caruso context and everything, I like the move. I like, because the Lonzo Ball injury history is concerning. You don't know exactly if teams are going to be as interested as they were at the deadline. Okoro's an interesting player to take a chance on. So he's a defensive wing, play finisher, to play up tempo, fits right in. And then Ball's able to go and play as a contender, and I guess they're not going to bring back Ty Jerome now that they have Ball to fill that void as the backup point guard.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't see that. But they were in cap hell. I mean, they're in danger of the second apron. They had to make these moves. This was another move, too, that do you really think the Cavs wanted to make this move? No, they didn't want to make this move. They were forcing this move because of their horrific cap situation. They were able to save a little bit of money. People are more in love with the idea of Lonzo. The story of Lonzo is better than the reality. Like, he's a great kid that never plays. He's always been hurt. He played 35 games for the last 3 years for the Bulls. He shot 36% last year from the field. Never hear anyone talk about that. Like, it didn't even happen. 34% from D. His defense was clearly diminished. It's almost all on guile. It's not athleticism anymore. It's a great story. We're all happy for him. I'm ecstatic for him. Put him on a contender. Let him try to get the ring. The fact is he's going to miss half the year, maybe 75% of the season, because that's what he always does. So the fact that the Bulls were able to turn this into a valuable, young, superior defender, superior athletic player who's 24 years old, the last two seasons has shot better from three than Lonzo did. Lonzo shot 34% last year. The previous two seasons, last year, Okoro shot 37% and 39% the previous year. So, like, and then if you look, and people are like, oh, he's a better three-point shooter. Based on what? Lonzo, up until the age he was 24, was a 35% career three-point shooter. That's what Okoro is, 35%, 24 years old. That they almost have the same identical three-point percentage. I saw Chris, you know, a guy who I respect on Twitter saying, like, what is Okoro done better for the last, you know, couple of years? Well, number one, he plays. That's number one. He's actually played in games. Number two, he's been better from the three-point range, and he's been better on D. It's bizarre world. We have this reflexive, every move that these guys are going to make is horrible. Even in a move like this, it's brilliant. There's still a huge percentage of the fan base that's outraged. I was outraged that we didn't trade him at the deadline. Let me calm down a little bit here. I want to pass on you. The bus is out of control already. I'm driving all over the road. It's a mixture of excitement and also anger that we can't be a fan base that just is going to be like this. This is how it was with Gar and Pax. All these great moves that they did were just kind of thrown out the window. You know, like, this is, there's been no one more critical of these two than me. But when you make a great move like this and you draft Modest, well, maybe things are starting to turn around. Maybe they're actually getting it. I'm kind of shocked at the negative reaction to this deal. I'll let you speak for a while and then we'll get into some other topics. Go ahead, buddy.
I think part of it is the Grizzlies deal, where we could have taken on the Marcus Smart contract and received the first, didn't, with fans knowing that, the initial knee-jerk reaction is to be upset, because, like, oh, you waited too long. Once again, we're here having to feel like they settled for less, because Okoro did have a down year, obviously, by things that aren't in his control. But you're only as good as, what have you done for me lately lead.
See,
fans feel that, like, he just didn't do as much.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Alejandro, but I do want to state, let's first talk about that trade. The trade at the deadline that was on the table. And I agree. I was 100% for that trade. I was the guy who was furious that he wasn't moved at the deadline. I was the guy that was upset that we extended him. That trade, at the time, Memphis, I believe, was second in the West. They were a top three team, I believe, in the Western Conference. There is no one who really thought, realistically, that that team was going to descend to 48 wins, you know, was good enough for an 8th seed. So that pick, Memphis rightly thought, was going to be a late first-round pick. Late first-round picks usually aren't valuable. For every Jimmy Butler, there are 10 bums. So it's very rare. If you're going to ask me, like, what would I rather have? Isaac Okoro at 24 years old on a bargain deal, now going into a high tempo offense, which is suited for his talents, or some late first rounder that may or may not be good, or Danny Wolf. I'd rather have Isaac Okoro. I can't even believe this is being debated. Or even second round picks. Like, come on, guys. Why are you upset about this? So that's number one. When you also think about, I agree with you. I was upset again that we didn't make that trade with Memphis. He didn't play for the rest of the year. Did his value get better or worse? It got worse. He showed again what is the problem with Lonzo Ball. He's always hurt. So I don't think his value increased from that deal. And whatever, I know there's rumors out there where they were talking to four teams. Don't tell me any of those four teams had a lottery pick on the table for Lonzo Ball. Because I'm going to tell you, you are freaking nuts. That's not true. I want to see proof of that. And I'd still rather have Isaac Okoro than a pick in the 20s. What say you?
No, you're fine. That's a great point to make, actually, that his value diminished after the trade deadline. Because that never even occurred to me. Like, he didn't play after the deadline. So that definitely tainted his value. And teams probably were lowballing more than just an Isaac Okoro, who has upside. I could, if he fits the mold and everything, I guess, which is why, like, it infuriates fans more. But it is definitely a smart move, because he is a deep, like, he actually is able to play. He's a bit undersized, but that's not an issue when you've been able to play defense and everything.
Yeah, I don't think he's that undersized, though, for a shooting. What is he, 6'4", 6'5", and he is built like a rock. I see what you're saying. Like, as a 3, he's undersized. As a 2, he's not. And I feel like his ceiling on the offensive end was really wasted. They basically just want him to be 3-and-D. And when you have Donovan Mitchell, you know, and the talent on that team offensively that won 64 games, they were a great team during the regular season. Yeah. You know, like, those guys are going to be the priority 1, 2, and 3. And if you're not running, if you're playing half court most of the time, and they did pick up the pace last year, but it was still in the middle. It wasn't the Bulls. You're not playing to suit his talent. So, like, I just can't believe. And so some of the people out there I know are like, well, is he that good defensively? This is a quote from an East coach from an athletic article. This was about 2 years ago. Isaac Okoro, Cleveland wing. And he didn't give his name, but they were just talking about some of the most underrated players in the league. Like Jimmy Butler, he's not going to give you anything easy. And it's not just because of the level of physicality. I think that he embraces the role of being that guy. He takes that challenge, and it's hard to do every night. It's easy to get up for the marquee matchup, or it's easy to maybe take possessions off here and there. But he doesn't seem to do that. He just has that mindset and knows how impactful that is for a group. He's a guy that buys in. He's not necessarily worried about anything else. He's comfortable knowing, I can impact winning by doing just this, end quote, East Coach. You see quotes like this over and over in their comments from Bernie, from Bickerstaff to teammates about Isaac Okoro. He does those things that allow for winning. So like people that are so focused, you know, in love with Josh Giddey and counting stats and all that stuff, they don't talk about guys like this. But these guys are so integral to winning basketball. And I feel like I am like just floored at the reaction to this deal. Because Lonzo is great of a kid. He's kind of like that, but he never plays. And he didn't play well. When he played last year, he didn't play well. It's like a myth that we were all lost in this. Oh, what a great thing that he's back. And it was. I'm not denying that. He shot 36%, 34 from three. He was not the same player defensively. Oh. Are we at a point as a fan base that we're just going to be negative on every single move? Because if so, I mean, like, what is wrong with us? I don't know. I'm shocked at how negative the response to this deal was. So are you feeling better about it now? Have I at least got you, Alejandro, on board the bus with this one?
Yeah, I definitely am on board because how you said, the main thing is he going to play? That's the biggest question. So Lonzo, he looked good and everything. His IQ is still there. Is he even going to be on the court? That's the biggest concern. And we, after you pointed out that his value probably diminished after he sat out for the rest of the season, I'm like, oh, teams are probably lowballing. And that we know they don't value second-round picks. We just saw in the draft, we got our good old friend Cash Consideration back. So it's like, it's not what they value. So if, am I going to get worked up over, oh, they should have added a second-round pick to Isaac Okoro? Not really, because, again, the biggest question is Lonzo going to play, which sucks. So we know what kind of player he can be. It's just that if he's going to be available or not.
This is a typical frustration. I'm going to just highlight a comment I saw. I had about 15 or 16 why this was a good move tweets. All right. Here's one response from this guy, Tony Kegger. Waited four seasons for him to get healthy, only to trade him after 40 games. Oh, my God. How do you even respond to this kind of comment?
Cleveland was a 10th in pace this past season. So I'm curious about the jump to second pace Chicago Bulls. What do you think that's going to do for Isaac Okoro's game?
I think it's going to be
incredible. You're pretty high on him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be incredible for him. I think he's probably going to play like the three, you know, assuming Giddey and Kobe are back. I am a little concerned they're going to move Kobe now. And so if they move Kobe, he'll absolutely slot into the two and be the defensive guy who's going to take the best perimeter defender on the team. And you need that because you have Josh Giddey as your point guard. So he can guard ones, he can guard twos, and he can guard threes. He's a completely versatile defender that can guard three positions. You know, that's what he can do. I didn't even think he's strong enough to, in some situations on a switch guard, to hang in there against fours. He's a total DAWG, as they like to say, who plays all out with the high motor on the defensive end. That's why coaches love him. I love watching him. I saw it when he played at Auburn on the tape. It absolutely stood out. Playing hard is a skill. He has it all over. And, you know, you see it again, like in a lot of the quotes I highlighted on Twitter. So I feel like on the offensive end, he is not suited to the half-court game that well. Like, they put him in a role where he was just, hey, we want you to hit threes. 2 years ago, he did that to a high degree, shot 39% from three. They got him on a bargain deal because he was in a restricted free agent, and the Cavs are a smart front office. They just don't hand out contracts like the Bulls did to Patrick Williams. He had a better year than Patrick Williams, but he was forced, because of the cap situation for most teams, he was forced to sign for a lesser amount. Like, I think he signed 3 years right around 36. So they got him on a bargain deal. He's like, no doubt to me, superior player to Patrick Williams. And I think what they're going to do, though, is put him on every tough point guard and shooting guard in three that they play against. He's, to me, clearly their best answer there. I do suspect, though, now they're going to probably trade Kobe, which is, I'm a little haunted by that because I think, you know, I do see these three as a backcourt. You know, I think Carl can play the three and just succeed there too. So, you know, and just be part of the rotation there. You know, and spend as much time as possible on the team's, the opposition's best perimeter defender. Bulls actually have an answer now. I mean, you could say it was Io. He didn't play that much last year, and Io is a good defender. But now they actually have two guys that can guard on the perimeter. Just a great deal. I can't say it enough. Like, this is an incredible job, and I really think a year from now, this system offensively is going to be so well suited to him. He's an incredible athlete, fast, can jump through the roof. It's going to be really well suited. There's going to be a ton of dunks from Isaac Okoro this year. So I'm just thrilled about this move.
I'm definitely on board. I don't think I'll be as happy as you are, but like, because you've been a fan of him for a while. I always thought of him like, all right, he's better than Patrick Williams. That's pretty much just it. But I do like the move, and I see the vision. I like, we just saw OKC. I'll always refer to OKC, how they have Alex Caruso and Lu Dort. They're a bit undersized, but they're switchable and have a higher IQ of moving the ball. Which is why I'm like, okay, we have that with Io and then with Okoro too. But yeah, they're a bit like not the biggest players, but they're still able to switch, which matters probably the most, especially in the NBA.
Take a step back. Who are the best two perimeter defenders on the Bulls, would you say, right now?
Right now? It's definitely Io. And then
in a Coral.
Now
it's a Coral.
It has to be a Coral. Yeah.
There's no doubt. There's nobody even close. Like it's a Coral and Io. It's a Coral is the best defensive perimeter player on this team. It's not even close. Io's a distant second. I'd say now they actually have now three guys that are above average defensively. Who would
Who's
be
the third?
Maybe I can't even say that. I was going to say like Julian Phillips or. I think when he's right and healthy, Patrick Williams is slightly above average defensively one-on-one. So
I can see that, yeah. I'm very much over him, but I can see it. I can see it.
All good. So it sounds like you're warming up to this. You're going to get on board. I am so thrilled. I am so back. I can't even tell you how excited I am to see this guy in a Bulls uniform. This is going to be a awesome move for the Bulls. And I will eat my hat at this time next year if it's not. It is going to be a great move. And if Modest comes out like I expect them to, you're going to have uber athletes at the four with Okoro and whatever else they decide, you know, kind of like you have elite athletes now that are really going to make this an exciting team to watch and bring some dog mentality defensively. So this is just incredible move. Can't say enough good stuff about it. Let's go on to the next topic, the draft pick. Noah Senge, you know, my take really quick, 18, who knows? You know, he's so young. You know, I hope he develops, but he's so far away from being a contributor to me right now, probably 2-3 years at least, because he's a complete project on the offensive end. He's not big enough to play yet. I the only negative on this, I agree with the move. I mean, he could clearly, he's got skills and he could develop as a, with his size and length, he could really develop into something great. He's not there yet though now. So, you know, it's going to take a while. And I think we need to be far more patient with him than we were with Modest. Modest was exponentially further along skill-wise on the offensive end. And Patrick Williams was exponentially further along physically. So to expect anything more from this kid, I think is a mistake. What say you?
I feel the exact same way. I was very much frustrated with the Giannis and the Siakam comparisons because I'm like, I don't even see his ceiling being like that. Not to say he's not going to be a good player, but I'm thinking of like a Jaden McDaniels or he start like doing the dirty work similar to the Thompson twins. Those skills are valuable. We're just saying that with Okoro. So if he can be able to do that, that's what matters the most to me. I don't really want to see any creation because it's not there. He might grow to 7 feet. He sits 10 right now at 18 years old. So who knows? But I like the pick, but I want the expectations to be very much tempered.
Amen. I think when they, first of all, any comparisons to Giannis are ridiculous because Giannis is Giannis. I mean, to even like suggest it, I kind of laugh. But I think Giannis was 6'8 when they drafted him as a youngster, like 198, 196, right in that same range. This guy's a little bit taller. And within like a year or two, he had grown to like Giannis did, 7 feet, 220 or something like that. And that's like a massive increase in size and strength. Pretty quickly. So I don't expect this kid to even do that. Giannis always had broad shoulders and kind of had a build, I thought, to put on weight. I'm not sure if this kid can. But you know what? I've seen a couple things I do like. Gets to the free throw line. That is a skill, absolutely. That is not all players have. Pete Will doesn't have it. He'll never have it. That's a skill that this guy has, and that's a good, good thing. So I'm excited about it. You know, I'm going to be positive. Like, they're starting to turn me around with these three moves. Modest, you know, absolutely looked like a home run pick for where they took him at. This guy, I much preferred that they would have done the Atlanta deal, and you know, which was the pick after. And if that was made available to them, I'm just pretty disappointed they didn't go in that direction to get an unprotected 2026. Likely that will be the Pelicans pick. That could be a lottery pick and a loaded draft, and move back a little. They didn't do that. But this third move, getting a Coral for Lonzo Ball, is just a home run. And I think this is a huge, huge moment for the Chicago Bulls to make a move like this.
I know earlier you said that you feel that they might trade Kobe. What do you think a return would look like?
I think it would be significant. March, Eastern Conference Player of the Month. You know, that's not something that's just easily should be blown out. I think it would be a mistake, to be honest with you, at this point right now, because he's just about to go into his prime. Most players hit their prime in the NBA between 27 and 30 years old. We've done nothing on this kid every year than place limitations on him and what his ceiling is. I think the potential issue is, I think he'll make the All-Star team this year. I really believe that in the East. If he stays in the East, he will be an All-Star. And if he does that, he's going to get a lot more than $30 to $35 million a year. Like, he might be approaching $40 to $50 million. And in that scenario, he's no longer such a good deal. You know, being paid like a max guy in years of his prime. You know, I guess the question is, what is his real ceiling? Can he become a top 25 player? Can he become a top 10 player? And most people that I talk to have always said, no, not in a million years. But I think everybody listening to this, with probably my exception, the exception of me and a few others, probably his family, has been pleasantly surprised where Kobe White has gone in his career. I just don't – I think like the next step for him is to shoot 40% from three. He's never done that. I think his career high is 38. If he can just go a few more points higher from three – extend his range. Like, he's already getting to the free throw line a lot more. He's going to have, like, I think he has Dame qualities. I really do. And I think he'll make several All-Star teams in the next few years. The question the Bulls have to ask themselves, are you ready to pay for that, number one? And number two, is he really the best fit with Josh Giddey? If I was running the team, I would have probably bet on Kobe Kobe and Okoro instead of Josh and Okoro, but it doesn't look like that's the direction he'll probably go in. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll go with those three and move Io. We'll see. But, you know, Io and Kobe are going to get paid next year, and it's not going to be anywhere near what they're getting now. So things are going to get a little bit more complicated salary-wise. What say you?
I'm open to trading Kobe more than most if it comes down to Kobe or Io, just because they're committed to Giddey already. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of who is going to excel the best with him. And I just think defensively you have to focus on that. And with adding Okoro, it does kind of lean in that direction. Like, all right, we're going to add more defensive, like, switchable wings, which helps a Kobe and Giddey backcourt if they want to decide to keep everybody. But then now it comes down to how you're saying with the money, because I know our cap sheet is pretty good, but I think every dollar counts, especially if you didn't make the playoffs. So having someone like Patrick Williams making almost $20 million a season, yeah, it's not that big of a percentage, but you could easily sign Io for that next season, because I don't really imagine him trying to make in the $30 million range.
Yeah.
So it's just, it, It's a lot. It's very much, we're going to see a lot in that season. And I do want to see, I don't want there to be like any hiccups. I want to see if they're not leaning towards, all right, the last 20 games we went 15-5. I want to hear about the real sample size, real playoff experience. It's just very tricky with all this. And I hope this does rule out a Kuminga sign and trade.
I think well, that's a good question. You just brought up another potential spot I never really thought about for Coby White. Coby White would be an excellent fit with Golden State.
I think I would have a very much like a rage online just because how much I don't think. I look at Kuminga and I see Julian Phillips and Dalen Terry. I honestly do.
I think a lot of, I think Kuminga, here's my thoughts on Kuminga. I think the situation he's in now is a horrible fit for him. He's not going to thrive in that type of system, which really requires a pretty high basketball IQ. I don't think that's Kuminga's finest traits. Not that he's, you know, dumb by any means, but I just don't think he's a really high basketball IQ player. He is an elite athlete who I do think would thrive in a Bulls system and do better. My issues with Kuminga have to do with his shot percentages. He's not a great free throw shooter, which is always a turnoff for me. He's not a great three-point shooter. You know, those two negatives are pretty big. But he is an incredible athlete, still very young. I do think he'd do a lot better for the beloved Bull. And I like this idea of bringing in these players with chips on their shoulders with something to prove. Isaac Coro is absolutely that guy. Kuminga might be that guy too. I don't know. I thought he did pretty well in the playoffs. And in the minutes that he was finally given, I really was kind of quasi-impressed with him. So I'm not saying that'd be a good move, and you better get something a lot more in return than just Jonathan Kuminga for, you know, a player like Coby White. But Orlando, I think, kind of set the market for him. They allegedly turned down Jonathan Isaac and two number ones. Those are probably going to be late first, but getting a good player, like, I love Jonathan Isaac. I think he's an insane defender and obviously can't play a lot, and that's always been the issue throughout his career. But getting two first-rounders and Jonathan Isaac is the kind of deal I would expect for a player like Coby White.
No, me too. Like, I guess what might have done damage to that as well is the C.J. McCollum trade and the Anthony Simons trade. Coby White's a similar mold to those guys as, like, shooting combo guards. And them not really, for one, the Pelicans and the Wizards one was very much a zero trade. Neither team seemed like they gained anything. And then Anthony signed, they had to give up, or I don't even, what was it? No, they acquired 2 seconds for Drew and Anthony. I feel like that might have done some damage just because they didn't even. It's just all over the place with guards after the Bain trade. So I'm not. I do think the price is 2 firsts, whether they're lightly protected or like lottery protected, and the solid player. But I think part of the reason too, I wouldn't want to see a return of Kuminga is the, for one, he wants to be an all-star. He wants to go ahead and try to prove himself. And I feel like that just might mess up the style of play we're establishing. We're already going to have Giddy with the ball. And I would want to see what Modest could do. He dribbled the ball a little bit. He did some playmaking, which is very promising. And I would want to explore that versus Kuminga, who I don't think is the best passer. And then just the three-point shooting just gives me the most pause. Because we were top 10 in almost every statistic category for three-point shooting. And he's barely in the 30% range.
I agree. Yeah, I don't want him. Let's just be clear about that. Like, but I wouldn't be angry if we got him. Let's just put it that way. I think it'd be a similar feeling that I had when we got Josh Giddey, and that turned out well. Like, Josh played really well those last 30 games. I'm now officially a Giddey-it. I want him to resign him, and somewhere between, I'd like it more around 25, but I'm not going to be depressed all summer if we sign him for 30. You know, I think that we let's just give him a little more time, because these last few moves in a row from Modest on have been pretty darn good. You know, I don't know about Noah Esengay. I don't know about that yet, but I really think this Okoro move will go down as one of the best trades in Bulls history. I actually believe that. That's how big of a ceiling I think Isaac Okoro has. So we'll see what happens. I think he's going to thrive here. But let's finish with a couple quotes. that I have. This is from March 9, 2024. This is Jamie Bickerstaff, who is now the head coach of the Pistons, but at the time he was a Cavs coach. Isaac Okoro is the best perimeter defender in the league, hands down. He said this after Okoro held Anthony Edwards to 19 points at 7-27 shooting in Cleveland's 113-104 win. Quote number two, I think Isaac Okoro, in my mind, from people's perspective on the outside looking in, is really underappreciated. There are so many things that impact winning that don't go into stat sheets that Isaac does. The way he makes his teammates feel when he does those things, you can't put a number on that, end quote. And then you'll find quotes like this everywhere. This was a good move. Everybody listening, just please calm down and let's try to think realistic about it. And it's all going to look ridiculous. Your anger is going to look ridiculous as soon as you see this guy play, starting in November and December. I can guarantee it. So, Alejandro, we're already over 30 minutes. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Local Bulls Fan on X, as well as you can find my work at Bulls on Tap. I wrote a little bit about the Lonzo Ball trade. Just cover that a little bit if you want to check it out. And then I should be doing a little recap on the NBA draft.
I can't thank you enough for coming on. I mean, I'm a huge fan of yours. It was great meeting you at that Bulls Creator event a few weeks ago. And you're going to be definitely a fixture as when Doug's out of town on the Big Red Bus. I hopefully have you on many more times, man. It's always good to talk to you, buddy. But I do want to say, I do want to highlight my tweet. Let me find it here. Just give me one second.
Okay.
Did you see this? Did you see this tweet I had on 617? Did you hear about this move I made?
No.
All right.
No, let me see.
All right, get ready for this. You got to see this. This is on June 15th. Here's my tweet. Dear Acme, call the Cavs. Offer Ball for Okoro. Make the deal. Send me a thank you. Send me a thank you note at the end of the season. See Red Fred. That was on about 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, 6:15. Is that not amazing or what? The prophet powers are back. Oh my God, they're listening to me. They're listening to me. Holy cow, we're driving right through the ocean right now, right through Lake Michigan. It's just like Moses clearing it. We're going, man. We're back, buddy. We're back. I'm going to drop you off at Grand Park. I'll see you there in about 10 months, all right? Sounds good.
All right.
Take it easy, Alejandro. Have a good one. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Let's go, Bulls. Take it easy, brother.